Broadcasting from the confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded ghost town of High Strangeness, just outside of Area 51, it's time now for full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Hello, everybody. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM, broadcasting from the 840 WHAS studios of iHeartMedia out of Louisville, Kentucky, where it's snowy, sleety, rainy, and perfect, I guess, Christmas weather. At least if you're staying inside, right? It's also home of Louisville's Mega Cavern. It's the only underground light show on the planet, driving like, I think, 17 miles through Christmas lights underground. It's wonderful. I did a Where's Willis there one time, if you might remember. Also home of Waverly Hill Sanatorium. You might think it's just all ghosty, but no, at Christmas they have a big laser light show, and it's like a drive-in. You drive up right to the gigantic building, and then they do a laser light show on the entire building. That's how massive it is. However, somebody about 2 weeks ago stole the most important component of the laser light show, so they had to cancel it for the first time in many years. Terrible thing, and I wish them the best. I hope that they get something else and somebody donates it, or they're able to get something else for next year. Also, home of Archbishop James Long, who is going to be with us tonight and celebrate having a paranormal Christmas and talk about the miracles of Christmas. However, he's a minister. This is his time of the year, and he is out doing some emergency ministry, so we wish him a very Merry Christmas, and we're okay. We've got Mr. Stan Larimer, the godfather of BitShares, is going to be giving us a crypto Christmas. And as well, he's going to be able to talk about the miracle of Christmas too. More on that in just a few minutes. But time now to turn off the lights and join me for another interesting evening of conversation, much needed education, and a chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks amongst us and what is beyond. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Christmas Eve, Christmas Day on Coast to Coast AM. You're listening to Coast AM. Hello, everybody. I'm Connie Willis. Merry Christmas Eve to some of you out there, and Merry Christmas to those of us on this side of the world. Yay! Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Always nice to say that. And Merry Christmas Eve is fine, too. But by the end of the night, by the end of the show, we'll be saying Merry Christmas to you guys way over there on that other coast that's probably a little warmer. So broadcasting out of the 840 WHAS studios, it is snowy, sleety, icy, and just plain old nasty out of Louisville, Kentucky. And that's why I had moved away for like 25 years. Now, as you know, I'm back home and I'm taking care of my mom. Her name is Nurner. Nurner, Merry Christmas. You're probably sleeping right now, but I want to be able to say Merry Christmas to you. And, you know, I'm glad that you're okay. She's all snuggled up with little Penny Girl, my little doggy girl that we all take care of, and my bird Batman. So it's nice that they've got a little candle lit beside them as they watch the movie A Christmas Story. And they get into, you know, Christmas Eve. That's what it's about. And tonight, I want you guys to feel that same way. I want you to have that coziness, that, you know, that Christmas feel. And I know we're all kind of a part of a family, you know, so I want you to be able to call in tonight with questions, and I'll tell you what's going on. We were going to have Bishop James Long in, but, you know, this is his time of the year to really help other people. So he's got, you know, emergency things he's got to take care of. So we're going to let him do that because he's got to do it. And that's okay. You know, that's all right. We wish him a Merry Christmas. He'll be back here on Coast to Coast with George Norrie or myself or someone else because, you know, we all definitely love James here. So as long as he's good and taking care of people, that's what it's all about, right? So what we did is we decided we're going to have a crypto Christmas. Hopefully some of you guys may know me with my YouTube channel. It's called Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis. You get it? Blue Rock, the earth, and you talk. It's Earth's most interesting conversations. So in there, I do a lot of crypto stuff. I'm also known as Crypto Connie. So if you go there and subscribe, hopefully you'll get to learn some of the crypto stuff with me. And you'll get to know someone like who we had on just about a month or so ago, Stan Larimer, the godfather of BitShares. So if you're in the crypto world, you're starting to learn more and more. It's a big learning curve, isn't it? It's a really interesting world. And it's changing the world, at least the blockchain is, that's a part of that. So we'll talk about that tonight. And we're going to talk about the crypto trends of 2018 with Stan Larimer And we're going to also talk about, Santa. We got some updates with Santa. We're also going to talk about maybe Christmas memories. And also, one of the things that's neat about Stan is, another neat thing, at least about our guest tonight, Stan, is that he also, once a week for an hour at Sunday school, teaches a Sunday school class at a college level. So where we thought we were going to miss out on people calling in about, you know, what about Jesus here? And tell me more about the birth of Christ. And how did that really happen? Well, guess what? He can answer those questions, too. So we were blessed with still having everything as before. And it's going to be nice. Nobody can replace the Bishop Long, but this guy is going to do pretty good at it. I think so. Stan's a great guy. I feel like he's part of my family already. And I think tonight we're going to call him Stanta. Someone said we should call him Stanta Larry Murray, because tonight I'm Connie Claus. So I hope that you stick with us and have fun. And the questions you have about Christmas and the questions that you have about crypto, we're going to be answering those for you if we haven't already answered it through the conversation. So without further ado, on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, he's known as the godfather of BitShares. We'll explain that to you if you're not sure about that. And 40 years of experience in software, hardware, and systems engineering, program management, business development, even teaching rocket science at the U.S. Air Force Academy. So, you know, he's already one of us, right? He's worked with the Mars rover and just done some really neat things. He's a really intelligent guy, fun to talk with because very down to earth and, you know, just like a family member kind of guy. So I think you're going to like him if you haven't heard him before. Those of you that have heard him before, you already have fallen in love with him. He is CEO of Cryptonomics. That crypto word is everywhere. And that's a leading custom blockchain development company that teaches, and like I said, he teaches at the college level Bible class. So Stan Larimer, welcome once again to Coast to Coast, and thank you for coming on such short notice. How are you?
Well, thank you, Connie. I'm delighted to be here, and my goodness, what a buildup. How do I live up to something like that?
I don't know, but the pressure's on. We'll find out. So, I thought that was cool. Somebody had written me, and they said, Connie, you need to call him Stanta. I like that. You're Stanta.
Well, I'll take that. You can go ahead and call me Stanta tonight.
Okay, Stanta. Well, I'm Connie Claus tonight. So tonight is we'll get to play around like that. And so throughout the evening, you know, we may get interrupted because we have to keep up with Santa and to see where he's at and what's going on. Okay.
I'm ready to step aside at the slightest hint that you have him on your radar.
Okay, I appreciate that because that's important. Oh, wait a minute. In fact, I hear him right now. So hold on, Stan. Stan, let me see where he is. Okay, Santa. He was last seen in Minot, North Dakota. I hope I said that okay. And he's headed for Rapid City, South Dakota. In about 45 seconds, he's going to be there. He's already delivered, holy cow, like 5 trillion presents. So those of you out there, you young kiddos, if you happen to be up right now in the Rapid City, South Dakota area, hit the sheets, play like you're asleep, or you're not going to get any gifts. So, you know, come on, you know how this works, right? So everybody else can stay awake except Rapid City, South Dakota. Kids, you better get into bed or nothing's going to happen. Woo! Okay, thank you, Stan. Sorry to do that to you, but, you know, that's very important for tonight. That's the big deal, right?
Well, this is a show about UFOs, and that's the most important UFO I can think of.
You are exactly right. That's probably one of the coolest things ever to see in the middle of the night, especially tonight. And this is one of the nights that people, you know, I thought about that earlier today. I thought there if there was a day where there are more sightings in the sky for a UFO, unidentified flying object, it would be tonight, because that's when all the kids are looking up. And I think there's got to be something like that written somewhere, that this would be the night that you get more reports. But who knows? Maybe they just blow it off as Santa so they don't even worry about it, because we all know that's probably who it is. So, okay, tonight, Crypto Christmas. So, Mr. Stan Larry Murr, you are going to give us the crypto trends of 2018. But before that, how come you can give us this information? I mean, what is it that your background experience has brought, you know, what has brought you to this point to where you feel strong enough to give us these ideas and people also feel good enough to listen to you?
Well, I can't explain why anyone would want to listen to me, Connie, but in terms of this, I've been working in the crypto industry since I left the aerospace industry about 4 years ago. And so in that 4 years, I've had a chance to see a lot of things, and I've watched it from a number of interesting perspectives that sort of helped me understand what's going on. Certainly, I'm one of those guys who thinks it's a good idea to be prepared for whatever might come. Some might call me a prepper in mental attitude, and I certainly have a biblical perspective on things. And so when I see stuff happening that matches up to those two worldviews, and then I start looking at all the things that have been happening in the cryptocurrency industry, suddenly a whole lot of bells start going off in my head. And that's led me to reach a few observations, which I'm happy to share with you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Beforehand, though, I just want to know a little bit more about you and your background so people can also feel probably as good as I do about you, because there's a lot of people in the crypto world that you want to stay away from, you want to run, and they are great salespeople, right? You can believe everything that they say, but you better run. Where I don't feel the same with you. You know, you got this incredible background, but when did you turn to crypto? What happened where you went, crypto, blockchain?
Well, I was working happily away doing my first love, which was inventing unmanned air, ground, sea, and space vehicles, everything from Mars rovers to little backpackable observation drones that you could put into the air from a forward position to doing airplanes that you can shoot out of a 5-inch Navy gun. So I got a chance to work on a whole lot of interesting projects, 17 of them during that period of time. But then, you know, 2008 came around and we had that first great crash of the century. That really woke me up. I decided that I would go find some other things to do. Hopped out of my perfectly acceptable job in order to go become an entrepreneur. And that's when I was requested by my son, Dan Larimer, to stop what I was doing and help him with something called cryptocurrencies. He had been following the Bitcoin, which was the first real cryptocurrency, since about 2009. And so he was pretty excited about it and was ready to start his own projects in 2013 when he brought me on board to form a company, run the company for him while he did the inventing, and that was the birth of BitShares. And since that time, he's gone on to develop another one called Steemit, and now he's working on one called EOS, which is basically an operating system on which you can build all kinds of very high-powered blockchains. And I've just been given the job of being the godfather of BitShares, since Dan is the what we would call father of BitShares, and I didn't want to be grandfather of BitShares. I settled for godfather. It sounds better.
Exactly right. No, don't be calling me grandpa of the bit shares. I don't want that. I'm too young for that. You know, it's funny, since I've met you and since I've been really getting into all this kind of stuff, of course I'm on the Steemit, which is really cool. I'm pulling in, you know, it's funny how people are like, oh, are you the Connie on Coast to Coast? Are you Connie, the Blue Rock Talk Connie? I love it, you know, because what it is basically, people, is it's the Facebook where or blogger. It's a blog platform. It's kind of like being on Facebook, and you blog and people upvote you and you get cryptocurrency and you start out with it already and you just start building it up. I mean, I've been on Stan like 2.5 months and I've already got at least in cryptocurrency, up to about $4,500, which, depending on, you know, where Steam is that day, or Steam dollars are that day, you know, it could be three times that amount. So it's really cool. You can actually get money for, you know, blogging and posting, as opposed to, you know, on the other social media platforms. And Stan's on there, so, you know, we kind of watch each other's stuff and upvote each other. So that's really cool, and that your son was a part of that. But as I'm going around and learning more and more about all this, Stan, you are like a legend to people. And I mean, people will say, oh gosh, I'm, you know, Stan, yeah, Stan's the man. However, I also hear, you know, Dan's the man. So you guys as a team together, I hear nothing but wonderful things. So I'm proud to be able to know you. I haven't met your son yet, but I mean, people just talk about how much of it, and I know you will be kind of biased because you're his father, but they really talk about the genius of him and you. But I know that, you know, he's kind of got his wings spread and he's just flying out there, right? So he's you guys are some pretty big names in the crypto world.
Well, I'm just a little name, but Daniel is destined to be one of the biggest names, I believe. He certainly has enough of a track record now that people do tend to pay attention to what he says. And, you know, I listen to him too. So I think it's really fun to watch that develop.
I imagine as watching your son do that. Did he fight you along the way and say, Dad, quit giving me these computers or to learn computer? Or was he the kid that said, hey, give me more. I don't have enough. I need to do more things with these computer, when he was like 6 years old? Was he that kid?
I got a picture of him pounding on a keyboard of a TRS-80 Model 1 when he was 2 years old. So, yeah, he's been at it that long. He started programming maybe when he was 12. I gave him a Mac 2 to play with and a little bit of help in getting it set up. And before long, he was playing video games of his own making. And he's just, you know, built on top of that. He's done some working in the aerospace industry, too, as an intern, and has developed unmanned air vehicle ground control software. And, you know, cut his teeth on that. There was a Christmas Eve or a New Year's Eve back in 2010 where he and I were working on a parking lot, an autonomous parking lot system of all things, for the Bull Durham Stadium in North Carolina. I was there with the screwdriver out on my knees in the cold after midnight when we could work on the parking lot on New Year's Eve, and Dan was talking in my ear from a nice comfortable chair with a Mountain Dew somewhere in Virginia, running the software for it. So we've done a lot of projects together.
That's really neat. So I'm hoping that you guys have a whole lot of new products in the future together. And I, you know, I'm looking forward to this EOS thing that he's got going on now. I mean, this is the little bit I've been learning. That sounds like that's going to be a game changer.
Yeah, we're counting on it. I mean, talk about unlimited bandwidth. We're seeing that all the digital currencies out there right now are a victim of their own success. They're starting to get clogged up. Dan's got a solution for that.
And for those of you that aren't sure what the blockchain is and you're not sure what we're talking about, we're going to be getting into that more in the next segment. I just wanted to prep you to let you know who Stan is and his background so that you can, you know, have a better feel of the credibility. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people here tonight, because I had put out there on all my social medias, make sure you listen, because a lot of people will ask me questions that I have no idea about. So now we will be taking some calls later so that you can ask Stan some things. But we're not just sticking with crypto. When we come back from the break, we're gonna listen to Stan's crypto trends for 2018. He and I are both lovers of Gerald Celente, who you guys have heard on Coast to Coast many, many, many times. And he does the top trends of 2018. So Stan is going to be doing crypto trends of 2018. But we're also going to be talking about a lot of really cool Christmas miracles and how that fits into today's life. Stan's going to be doing it from the perspective of the Bible. And Stan, I guess what you do is you teach a class once a week for an hour, a college level at your local church, I guess?
Yes, that's actually the thing I enjoy most of all the things I do, is that one little hour where we get to stand there and talk about any topic in the Bible, and digging deep and pulling together pieces from all over the Bible to make answers to questions that some of the people have about it. So I've enjoyed putting together and solving some of the mysteries in the Bible, and always like to take a look at it from that point of view.
Excellent. And so I want to encourage people to call about that as well, because you got any questions about the Bible, especially the birth of Christ tonight, anything of the miracles of the Christmas, that would be fantastic, because I know Stan's ready for it, and we'll all get to enjoy that. It's part of the miracles of Christmas, Crypto Christmas. Stan Larimer and Connie Willis here with some Christmas music and Santa updates here tonight. Stay with us. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas Eve on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Connie Claus here with you tonight. Connie Claus, that's right. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas Eve, wherever you are out there. Hope you're enjoying it with your family. Some of you probably are already working on the gifts, or maybe you have a midnight service or something like that that's going on, or you're doing something at church. I know that we grew up where we would play the bells as a kid, and we would sing in the choir, and we were always at the midnight service. We had a 7 o'clock service, then we'd have a midnight service. And of course, my family was at all of that, because my mom sang in the choir, and me and my brothers and sisters, we did the bells and the choir ourselves. And my dad was the guy that would go in and make sure everything was open. You know, he would volunteer to make sure he turned everything on and then everything off. So he was kind of the first guy there, last guy to leave. And I remember when he was alive, I would go walk around with him and turn on the lights and help out with him. It was really fun. Neat little memories now. So that was Christmas for me growing up, is getting to do that. And then when we got back home, that's when Santa had come after the midnight service. And of course, you know, Santa made us sit in the car freezing for, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes, depending on how long it took for Santa to get all the gifts in, because Santa apparently always came right when we drove back up. So as a kid, I remember being very, very cold in the house, and then but getting to walk in. And my mom was a professional interior decorator, so the house was beautifully decorated, and the music was on, the lights were low, and the tree was just, you know, glowing, and there were all these presents everywhere. So it was always nice. And then one at a time, people would open their presents. And guess what? I was the youngest, so I had to wait all the way till the end before I got to open my gifts. And Stan Larimer, who is joining us now, talking about Christmas. You know what, Stan, being the last kid out of, you know, you had my granny, and then you had mom and dad opening gifts, and then you had, you know, my three brothers and then a sister, and then me. I mean, by the time they got to me, nobody cared about watching anybody open a gift anymore. So I was just kind of opening it by myself and playing around. But I got to open some gifts, and it was fun as a kid. So there's a little Christmas memories for me. How about you? I bet you've got some special Christmas memories.
Oh, I tell you, the whole business of the never-ending battle between kids and parents to get to the Christmas tree earlier than you're supposed to throughout my life. I can remember one time when I was 4 years old. Yes, I can remember back that far. Sneaking out into the Christmas area, and I had a rocking horse there. It was sitting there under the tree. And I sat there and rocked on that for probably an hour, waiting for everybody else to get up. So I come from a long line of sneaks that were involved in that. And my kids have taken after that. It was a never-ending battle to keep them in bed until the next morning.
Well, I had a sister that would she would kind of use it against you. She'd go and she'd find out what the presents were. You know, she would find where they were hidden. I mean, she would find it. Mom could have buried it 3,000 feet down, you know, on Oak Island, and my sister would find it. And then she would use it against you and say, you know, the week before, you know, or the week 2 weeks before, whenever it was that she found it, she would say things like, you know, like, make me a ham sandwich. No, you make your own ham sandwich. No, no, no. If you don't make me a sandwich, I'm going to tell you what your gifts are. She's like, what? You wouldn't do that to me, would you? I want to be surprised. You know, I was a kid that wanted to be surprised. I didn't want to know what it was. I wanted a surprise. So she would use that against us, you know. So there you have it. So we are going to be talking about the crypto trends of 2018. Let's go ahead and do that before we get into some of the Christmas miracles. And unless you'd like to throw in a Christmas miracle first, you tell me what you're feeling inside your soul right now.
Well, I think we can come back a little bit later and talk more about this, but I would say that there is certainly that issue of what exactly was the Star of Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
And as a rocket scientist, I have a rather unique perspective on that. And so at some point, I'd like to talk about that. What was it?
Go ahead.
It was one of the, okay, I think
Let's
it was
do
one
that
of
now.
The first UFOs in recorded history. A lot of times I remember listening to scientists talk about, well, you know, we've analyzed the orbits of the planets, and, you know, every time there's a conjunction, they come close together, and maybe one time they all lined up, and that was the Star of Bethlehem. But I will tell you right now that that cannot be. The Star of Bethlehem was an inside-the-atmosphere event. It was not out in space. Described as a star, looking like a star, yes, but let's just think about it a minute. Everything out there on the night sky is incredibly far away, except for a few things like the moon, which is real up close and personal. And we can see what the moon does from the time it rises in the east till the time it sets in the west. It pretty much marches steadily across the sky. And I challenge you to figure out what manger it's over top of, or what point on the Earth's surface it's pointing to when it's up that high. Everything else is further away. It does not designate any point on Earth. The only way you can designate a point on Earth is if you are in the sky over it. So therefore, it's pretty clear that whatever the wise men saw on that Christmas Eve was in the air. And if you just picture a helicopter taking off from the top of a building and hovering over it, how high up does that helicopter have to get before it is not possible to figure out which building it's over top of? So we're talking about a phenomenon, whatever it was, an unidentified flying object, bright like a star, and it had to be pretty low in order to guide those wise men in any particular direction, much less to a particular spot.
So you're saying not a star, something else, an actual UFO that was guiding them.
So yeah. Now,
what would you think it was?
There's three options for what a UFO might have been.
Okay.
We can pretty well eliminate man-made at that 4 BC. We don't know of anything that humans made that could fly at that time. So that leaves the choice of two kinds of non-humans. Either it was extraterrestrial in origin, or it was spiritual in origin. Those are kind of our two options for what that was. We know that shepherds at that time saw angels appearing in the sky at that time. That would be, extra-dimensional beings showing up with a lot of great bright light. So something of an angelic or demonic origin would have been one possibility. And that is, would certainly be what the Bible seems to point to. No doubt angelic in this particular case, designating the birthplace of Christ. But that gives us another question to look at. When we talk about UFOs, everybody automatically assumes they come from another planet. But the whole concept of UFOs being of extra-dimensional origin is something that I find fascinating. And, when you look at the precedent set by the Star of Bethlehem, and then you ask, what are we seeing in the skies these days, you have to wonder.
Well, what do you think?
Well, there's a really interesting book out by Douglas Hamp called Corrupting the Image. subtitle Angels, Aliens, and the Antichrist. And he's basically of the opinion, and spends a whole book explaining it, that what the demonic beings in this universe are doing is impersonating UFOs, because strange humans would rather believe that there are aliens than believe in demons. And so his theory is that great deception to get the whole world to accept the demonic realm and its rulers over us is to impersonate aliens, because we've seen enough Star Trek and Star Wars shows that we all really, really think there's a lot of that out there. And if beings were to show up claiming to be from another planet when they're really from another dimension, we would be more likely to accept the former than the latter. And that might be part of the end time deception that the Bible tells us about.
And see, you know, I can also think not just interdimensional, but and something from somewhere else, but also something from within. I believe there can be, you know, there's a whole lot of room down below us where things can live underneath and show up once in a while. You know, a lot of them come from the tops of mountains and volcanoes, and you'll see little pictures of little bitty discs flying in and out kind of thing, and that can make sense too.
Well, you know, there's a lot more out there that we don't know about than there are things
yes.
that we do know about. And I know that in my lifetime, the number of things that scientists have changed their mind about has been quite significant, and including even the Big Bang, which was just the least accepted of the theories back when I first started studying astronomy. So nowadays, scientists is discovering that perhaps the whole world is a simulation, and quantum physics seems to bear that out. So, whoa, suddenly if the world is a simulation and we're living in a big matrix or holodeck, then some of the phenomenon we're talking about can have entirely different interpretations. And
yeah.
We're pretty smug to be sitting there saying what can or can't be when we see all these things happening.
I know. What is it? There's something that says there's what we know, and then there's what we don't know. But then it's big. The percentage of what we don't know that we don't know is even bigger than all of those percentages.
Yes, indeed. And so I think it's good for us to keep an open mind. A lot of times we talk about stuff like this, it gets into tinfoil hat domain. But it's certainly in terms of what's happening in the world's economy, and how money is operated, and who's actually in control of this planet, the truth may be very much more strange than we have ever thought about. And I keep getting surprised more and more about just exactly what is behind everything.
Yeah, and because of what you're doing with the blockchain and the crypto and the different currencies and putting applications and businesses on the blockchain, I know that you have to learn more and more about how things are run and who is running things, and who might want to try to regulate, and how you can avoid that and have this freedom that you're talking about, which is what we all want. But you would learn a lot. So with all this experience and reaching into areas where it's still pretty unknown, I mean, this is all very new territory. It really is. So who do you think is running the planet now and running or in control of everything?
Well, that is a good question, right? As you peel back the onion, you discover more and more. But we can certainly point the finger at the people who control most of the world's wealth, and that is generally associated with the banking system that we're faced. A lot of us get frustrated with our own local bank and how it treats us, and the lack of service that's provided, and the intrusion on our privacy of the banking system. And that goes higher and higher. I would say, and this is my trend number one, for the coming year, is a flight to safety from dollar abuse. And note that I didn't say it was a collapse of the dollar. That may happen. And we've been predicting that for a long time due to one form of abuse, printing money. But one of the trends for next year, I think, that we're going to find is a growing number of people that are fleeing to safety before the collapse of the dollar. Maybe that'll happen next year. The dollar can stay operational a lot longer than you can stay solvent, perhaps. But people are waking up to dollar abuse. The number of Americans who are unable to get service from foreign banks because of the abuse of the dollar's hegemony over the world and requirements of foreign banks and institutions to honor American regulations is causing Americans to be persona non grata around the world. That's a form of regulatory dollar abuse, and that's going to cause more and more people to try to get out of it. Whether you're other large companies seeking to come up with an alternative to the dollar, or whether you're Americans seeking to find a way around some of the draconian regulations that have been placed on Americans, you're going to see people fleeing that type of abuse. And that means a big influx into the realm of cryptocurrencies, which were invented first and foremost as a play towards freedom from that kind of abuse.
You know, here I am as a citizen of the United States, and I am, and just a human on the planet, you know, and there's rules and there's regulations and there's, you know, do's and don'ts and, you know, just even things that you should do or you shouldn't do ethically and you know, in kind ways or not. And, you know, the difference between good and bad for the most part. And I have to follow laws or I get in trouble. So how is it that someone, who would it be, could print up money, just continue to print it up as needed, knowing that that's the worst thing in the world to do? Whoever could get to that point to have the power enough to, oh, let's print out some more money. I mean, that's a big position to be able to do. But that position, you should be responsible not doing that because it gets us into this trouble. So who is that person? Is that group of people? And why were they allowed? And you got about 20 seconds to tell me that.
Well, this goes clear back to the days of the Roman emperors and clear back to Babylon. It has always been with us. The people that gain power over us in government reserve for them the right to manipulate currencies as part of their ability to maintain power and control, and in the process find the dilution of those currencies to have more wealth easy to implement that power. Goes back through all human history.
Oh my, yeah, always goes back to something like that. Power and greed. Oh my gosh. Well, crypto, Christmas, and the miracles of Christmas here with Stan Larimer and myself, Connie Claus, tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Merry Christmas to you.